Good morning. It's great to be in the Lord's house this morning. Good to see each of you. We know we still have a number of sick folks that Brother Leonard will probably mention in a little while. But it's so good to have him back. Yeah. For a while, I didn't know that you could have church here without Leonard. But we did. Yeah, but all of you are important. That's the thing about it. You know, Paul uses that illustration about the hand can't say we don't need you, or the eye can't say we don't. We need everything. Amen. We need every member of the body of Christ, and we're so glad you're here. And whether you're out in the parking lot or whether you're later listening on the webcast, it's so good to come and worship a living Lord, a Lord that's alive. In spite of all the mess and junk that's going on in our world, we still worship one who sits on the throne of glory. And he's been there for ages, and he'll be there for ages to come. And we get to go be with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us to come together and be in your house. We thank you for the people that have made a choice to come and worship here together. And we thank you for those that aren't able to come, but yet do choose to listen, either in the parking lot or on the webcast. For Lord, we know that you're the same God wherever we are. Same Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us that are believers. And Father, I pray today that the Spirit of God would touch, guide, direct. Lord, that all that we do would bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Oh, it's so good to see you. It's so good to see you. Hey, another month has rolled around, and here we are, the 1st of October. So we need to recognize the birthdays for the month of October and anniversaries for the month of October. The birthdays for October are as follows. Jordan Linker, October the 7th. Jim Hopkins, October the 8th. Rita Linker, October the 13th. Greg Edwards, October the 16th. Bethany Linker, October the 21st. And Lionel Hahn, October the 23rd. And Brenda Burris, October the 31st. Did I miss anyone? All right, Eva Mae, give me a key over there.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Now, anniversaries for the month of October, Jeremy and Shelby Barbie, October the 1st, Gary and Tonda Hamilton, October the 18th, and Tony and Ruth Eford, October the 21st. Tony, praise the Lord, right? How many years we got there? 26. Well, God bless you. Let's give them a hand. All right. Again, welcome everybody today to worship at Barbie's Grove. And before we do our hymn sing, I want to thank a few people and that have helped a lot. Pastor talking about a while ago about me being gone. Well, COVID kept me out of church for the longest. I've been out of church, and I don't know, a long, long time. But the thing I noticed when I listened to the webcast, and you know what I noticed? God's work goes on beautifully. It absolutely will. It just goes on beautifully. And I thank God for you. A couple people I want to say thank you for. Not just a couple, but a bunch. Rita Linker. When I first got sick, I called Rita. I think I gave her about an hour's notice to lead the music. And if I hadn't have called her, I'd have came here sick. And that would not have been a good thing. And Rita, thank you very much. I thank Tonda. I thank Miss Kathy over here. I'm sorry about it. Eva made a joke. That wasn't for... Okay. I thank Kathy for that. Pastor, for doing double duty. I thank you for that. And thank you for all of it. It's good to be back. And thank you for your prayers. Donna's doing real well. And she can get over her fatigue problems. And she'll be fine. So just want to say thank you all for your prayers, and it's good to be back. Good to be back. All right, let's sing a hymn sing this morning. It's going to be page two in your books if you want to look at the books. Otherwise, if you just look on the board, we're going to all stand and sing Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Everybody. Some announcements I want to share with you all this morning. First, I have a thank you that I want to share with you. This is from Patrick Fuller, and it says, Barbara's Grove, thank you very much for your heart for missions. Thank you for participating in the mission drive to help the refugees that God has bringing to North Carolina. May our Lord bless you and your church family for your interest in the gospel-focused missions. Thanks again, Patrick Fuller. And, of course, that was the Afghan refugees that we helped. Okay? While we're talking about missions, our NC missions offering, final total, was $1,360. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, Lori. Add $1,000 to the missions offering? Okay, so be glad to. That's not hard to add. $2,300 now and $60. So that's wonderful. That is wonderful. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. I think that deserves a round of applause. All right. Let's not forget the day that we have a call conference today. There will be a building and grounds addition to the building and grounds plus kitchen work that's going to be presented to us for your approval. There'll be no evening services, of course. Then Wednesday night, we're going to ask you that you normally come for our Wednesday night Bible study, that you come and be a part of helping Jeff with the Ronnie Lauder benefit. That's going to be, our fellowship hall is going to be used for that. And so if you would please just know that Wednesday night Bible study, in lieu of Wednesday night Bible study, will be to help with the Ronnie Lauder benefit chicken dinner, okay? Yes, go ahead. Okay.
But we will be here at 6. And remember, many hands make for quick work. If this thing doesn't think it will, you won't be here much longer than what we normally are
okay.
for the Wednesday night service.
Okay.
We'll knock this out quick.
All right.
And we are going to work Thursday
Okay.
That won't take long either. So your help's greatly needed. We're doing this thing really quick. I've never done one where we only meet 5 weeks. We always meet at least 12 and sometimes 16 weeks to gather up workers. And this thing's been thrown together quick, but there's been a lot of great response. So please come and help your members. Remember, we're doing this for Ronnie today, but this could be you or one of your family members next time.
That's exactly correct. Exactly correct. Well, thank you, Jeff, for leading out on that. And so y'all remember that then Wednesday night. That'll be Saturday, October the 9th. We'll be the benefit, so be prepared to do that. Another thing I wanted to mention, look around you today. Look at these beautiful fall decorations. That just didn't happen at a snap of a finger. And so Wes and you, all those that, and Angie, all those who had a part in these decorations, thank you so much. They're beautiful. And I guarantee you, I haven't been to the fellowship hall, but I bet it's something orange down there too. I bet it is. And but anyway, we thank them for their hard work. Okay. We got Pastor Appreciation Month, and we get a chance to say thank you to Pastor Ed. And so, Pastor Ed, we'll say thank you all the time. We should say thank you all the time. But this is a special month that's designated for Pastor Appreciation Month. So look at your bulletin here, and there will be a love offering plan for the end of the month and other things that will be happening. That doesn't keep you from doing something special for him on your own if you want to do that. So just remember that. Keep him in our mind. Now, Samaritan shoe boxes. I got the thing in the mail yesterday, and the pastor said he brought some boxes today. Did you say you brought some things today? So we are Samaritan shoe boxes. We will be doing again this year. So be ready to do that, and let's take a big part in that. And then we have a thing called Undie Drive, and that's a good one. This is the Stanley Montgomery Baptist Association needs socks, underwear, undershirts, and also travel-size toiletry items, shampoo, so forth, for boys and girls of all ages and sizes. Please bring your items by October the 10th and 17th, and it benefits needy kids in Stanley County. And that's all the announcements I have at this point. Did I miss anything anywhere? Okay.
And you'll be able to pick them up between 10 and 12 o'clock here on Saturday.
Okay. All right. So you heard that? You heard the announcement there. Okay. Any others? All right. Let's go to our prayer request and prayer this morning as we look at it. I wanted to bring up the fact that we still need to remember Angela. Keep her in our prayers. And let's remember, and Rita, it's good to have you here. You're doing well?
I am doing well. I had a follow-up visit with the doctor this week, and I thank everybody for the prayers and calls. And
yeah. Amen. It's good to see you. Charles Hatley, let's keep them in mind also. And let's continue to remember the Shirley Edwards family. Keep them in our prayers as we go forward here. Donna, let's keep praying for her. She's not totally well yet. She's over, I think, all the COVID things. Now she's just, well, except for that she stays tired all the time, and she's got a real problem with that. So keep her in your prayers, if you would, please. Let's see. Carol Kelly. Carol's going to have some tests. Let's keep Carol in our prayers and make sure it's not. And then Tim Smith. I don't have a report on Tim. Do you have one?
Tim, best I can tell you, Tim's not doing real well.
Okay. All right. All right. Anyone else? Anywhere now this morning? Yes, Kenny. Who now? Oh, Kenny. Oh, yes. All right. Anywhere. Yes, Will.
I would like to put Nellie Ackerman back on the prayer list.
Okay. Well, we'll keep grandmother in our prayers. We sure will. Anywhere. Yes.
Brian Burgess.
Brian.
Yeah, they diagnosed him with
Okay, Brian Burgess, okay? I'm sorry, I didn't get the name of the... Done? Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Travis Hathcock? Yeah. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thankful hearts. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you've already given us. And Lord, as I think a lot every time I pray, before I ever ask you for anything at all, Lord, I say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you give us each and every day. Thank you for the ones that are here today. Thank you for the health that's been provided so they can be with us today. But Lord, there's many that needs help, needs your touch, needs your healing. And Lord, we pray for them today. We're so thankful, Lord, that we pray for Rita and glad she's better and getting better. But we continue to pray for Charles Hatley. We pray for Angela. We pray for Donna. We lift them up, Lord, as they're still battling away. We pray for the Shirley Edwards family, Lord, all of them as they continued in time of grief. Pray for Carol Kelly, Lord, as she is going for tests. We pray for her, the Travis Hathcock family, the Gunner family. We lift up Tim Smith to you today, Lord. We don't know totally all of his, but we know he needs your healing. We pray for Kenny Linker. We lift him up to you, Lord, as he has tests coming. Then Miss Nell Jackman, we pray for her today, Lord, as she's still trying to adjust to the life in the nursing facility. We pray for her. We pray for Brian Burgess. We lift him up with cancer today, Lord. We ask your blessings upon us, Lord. And now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, Lord, we thank you so much for your blessings. But now, Lord, we ask you continue to bless Pastor Ed as he comes forward today and delivers the message for our needs and our hearts. We ask your blessing upon all the service today, all who has a part. And then, Lord, these blessings we ask in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's do a song. Let's do a song of praise. And I hadn't done this song in a while. It's been a while. Matter of fact, Jeff said this morning, said, I don't believe we ever sang this song. I said, well, we're about to. This old fellow says, we're fixing to. You ever heard anybody say that? We're fixing to? Well, we're fixing to. This is page 231. Come, Christians, join and sing as we stand. Let's do all three verses. Christians join to sing, Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King, Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice. Again, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Children, you now.
Was a good praise song, and you know you're going to be singing that in heaven forever.
That's right.
Hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. You know those Isaiah saw those seraphim flying around the throne, holy, 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 holy. And you look in Revelation several times, they see the people, masses of people around the throne. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. And we're going to be doing that, and I believe folks like me are going to have better voices in heaven, or else ears will make them sound better anyway. You know, one day this week, I got to thinking back to my college days and a French class I took and a book that we were assigned to read. It was by a French existentialist philosopher named Jean-Paul Sartre, and the English title is No Exit. Anybody else read the book, heard of the book? I'm glad. I hated the book. The first reason I hate it is I had to read it in French. But the book is so dark and dismal. It's about three people, a man and two women, and they are the most despicable people that you can imagine. And they are in a room, and they're not going to be able to leave forever. There's no exit. And they're going to spend eternity tormenting one another with their actions and their words. It's dark, it's dismal, it's depressing, disgusting. And I thought, you know, that's the kind of material people write who have no hope. And then I contrasted that with the Bible. You know, the Bible is very realistic about people having problems, facing difficulties, being up against it. And yet over and over and over again, the Bible offers hope. It shows that when people are in a difficult situation, at least one of two things happens. One, God opens a door where there was no door. Or else even in the middle of the bad situation, God is there with them. I asked Leonard about a song. He said he didn't know the words, so he couldn't sing it. And I can't remember one phrase. And I can't say it as fast as I've heard it sung. He made a way when there was no way. He's the way maker. Anybody else know that song? My wife does. Now you try singing that chorus about five or six times just as fast as you can roll it off and see if your tongue's still hanging the way it's supposed to. You see, the Bible shows us that in the middle of a messed up, difficult world, people facing trials and difficulties, there's a way maker. And that way maker is the Lord God Almighty. Now I'm just going to not turn to it, but just refer to a number of scriptures. You think about Noah. The world is dying under a flood, but where's Noah? God's instructed him to build a boat. And Noah and his family are floating above the waves. You think about Lot. Sodom and Gomorrah are under a curse and will be destroyed, but where's Lot? God sends some angels to deliver. You think about David. He writes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. You think about Jehoshaphat. Facing three enemy armies. And the Lord says, and first they had a prayer meeting and a fasting. And then the Lord says, go to praising me. And suddenly the three enemy armies began to fight among themselves. And when Israel, with the choir out front, came over the hill, all the enemies dead, and all Israel had to do was go pick up all the goodies. You think about Daniel. He didn't escape the lion's den, but God shut the mouth of the lions. You think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't escape the fiery furnace, but there was a fourth man in that furnace with them. You think about Peter. He's in prison. Tomorrow they're going to take his head off. And he must be really worried because he's so sound asleep that the angel has to shake him to wake him up. He wasn't fretting it. God delivered him for many more years of ministry. You think about Paul and Silas. They're in prison in Philippi. And suddenly an earthquake sets them free. The jailer and his family become converted and a church is born. You think about Paul on a ship in the middle of a hurricane for 2 weeks. And finally when that ship crashes against the shore, Paul just either wades or swims or uses a board to get to shore. You think about Paul picking up some wood to throw on the fire and the snake bites him. And Paul shakes the snake off and Paul lives and the snake dies. Isn't it amazing? When you look at the Bible, how many people were confronted with difficult situations? You think about the children of Israel. They're in slavery in Egypt. And they cry out to God, and God sends Moses to deliver them. Miraculous miracles happen, and they're free. And suddenly they're at the Red Sea, and they can't go left, they can't go right, and here comes the enemy army. The Egyptians have decided to retake them. And they don't know whether the Egyptians are coming to kill them or to recapture them as slaves. And suddenly there's a path right through the Red Sea. God delivering. God delivering. How awesome it is when those kind of things happen. I love the story of Paul. And you remember, he wrote the phrase or the verse that says, I'm in a strait between the two, whether to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, or to remain and help you folks, which you really need my help. Now, tradition says that they were in the next room sharpening the axe that they were going to use to take Paul's head the next day. And yet Paul goes on to say, after thinking it over about going or staying, I believe I'll just stay. Because you folks need me for a while. Now, I don't know what happened to that axe sharpening, but Paul went free. Over and over and over again, the Bible shows God as the way maker. The one who comes into hopeless situations, difficult situations, and makes a way. And what he will do and has done for them, he does for us. I think about some personal experiences and some things I've read and heard. I like to keep good tabs on my finances so that I know what's coming and can plan for it. And I don't know how many times over the years I've sat down and said, well, I've got this much money in the bank. My church is going to pay me this much. So that's going to total a certain amount for the next month. And then I'd say, okay, regular bills are this much. Oh, and the car payment and the college tuition for one of the kids is coming up next month. And somehow or another, this doesn't add up to this. That ever happened with you? And I think, Lord, I don't want to go to debtor's prison. And yet, 50-some years of marriage later, I don't remember bouncing a single check. Somehow or another, God made a way when there wasn't a way. I think about the story of Corrie Ten Boom. And I may have told this before, and I may have told the story I'm going to tell after that. But it won't hurt you to hear them again. You remember Corrie and her sister Betsy were in a concentration camp in World War II, held by the Germans. And somehow or another, they had a little bottle of some kind of vitamin. And evidently, they must have put a drop on their tongue each day. And the Lord convicted them that they shouldn't just keep it just for the two sisters. And so I don't know how many, I've forgotten how many women were in the cell area that they were in, so they shared it with all the women. And she implies it was just a little bottle, but day after day after day after day after day, there was always a drop for every woman. It should have run out in less than a week, but day after day. And finally, they were allowed to receive some Red Cross packages, and it had some of that vitamin in it. So Corrie said, well, we'll just keep using this other one until it runs out. But that day it was empty. God multiplied that over and over and over again until a new supply came. Second story, I'm sure I've told it someplace, maybe on a Wednesday night. Mark Rutland. He's a writer, been a college president. He's preacher. He was way down in the Amazon, and they were going back to a tribe that they thought was hostile. They might, you know, might headhunters. And they thought, we're going to take some canned fish, and as soon as we get off the out of the canoe, we're going to hand this to these people, and maybe that they'll be nice to us. And they got to the place where they knew just around the bend in the river they were going to be at this tribe's camp. And Mark says to the man that was with him, grab that canned fish and get it ready. And the guy says, forgot to buy the fish. And Mark says, what are we going to do? Our lives are at stake. And just about that time, this humongous fish jumped out of the river and landed in the canoe right between the two guys. And so when they pulled on the shore, they had this great big fish. Now, Tony, a lot of them don't jump in the boat for you, do they? You know, God has a way. I think about reading about some Southern Baptist missionaries, and they were going to the Mesquite Indians in Honduras. And they were going to deliver food because these people were hurting. And they had 50 bags of food that they loaded in, I think it was some kind of boat. And they were going to go to these Indian families and give these 50 bags of food. But you know, at the end of the day, they figured out they'd given out 55 bags of food. Now, they started with 50, but just like the loaves and the fish, somehow or another, these Southern Baptist missionaries ended up giving out 55 bags of food. God makes a way so often in our lives. Even in the story of Deacon Stephen. And you know, he was stoned to death. Even in that situation, he has a vision of God. Jesus, you know, usually we talk about Jesus seated beside of the Father. He says, I see Jesus standing ready to receive me. Even in death, there was a way for him to have an assurance that everything was okay. I want us to look at a couple of verses in Ephesians. Now, John Paul Sartre had a hopeless, no exit. It's in chapter 2 of Ephesians. But Jesus has a way. In fact, the Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the light. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now just think for a minute. Dead in trespasses and sin. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world. In other words, you walked apart from God. You worked according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, you followed the devil. You let the devil run your life. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, that evil that walks in the and lives and directs the lives of those who disobey the things of the Lord, among whom we also had all our conversation in times past. So do we walk like the world? We talk like the world? We live like the world? In the lust of our flesh. In other words, we gave in to the fleshly desires and the fleshly lust and the sinful nature that we had. And the lust of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath. We were under the judgment of God. We were going to receive the wrath of God, the punishment of God. Now that sounds like a pretty hopeless situation. That sounds like a door with no, or a room with no exit. No way out. But did you notice how that verse 1 began? You hath he quickened. But I love especially verse 4. But God. That's the deal. We live as unbelievers in a hopeless, messed up situation, but God. But God intervenes in that situation, and he says, what kind of God is it? A God who is rich in mercy. Now, you know, there's some folks that are poor. There's some folks that barely get along. And then there's folks that are rich and they can afford anything they want and do anything they want. It says God's rich in mercy. He's got mercy enough to scatter around. He's got mercy enough for you and me and everybody else. He's got mercy enough for everybody that has ever been born and that ever will be born. He's got mercy enough to forgive the little sinner, the medium sinner, and the person that is just absolutely evil to the core. There's plenty of mercy because God, but God who is rich in mercy. And I'm so glad. It doesn't say, but God who is merciful to the good folks, says God's merciful to us all. God is merciful if you earn it. No, God is just merciful. You don't earn it. You do not earn it. I don't earn it. God who is rich in mercy, why? For his great love wherewith he loved us. Kenny in Sunday school lesson was talking about how much God loves us. How we ought to love one another. He's rich in mercy because he loved us. And you know, again, in Sunday school, we were talking about the fact that there's some folks it's easy to love. Some folks are a little more difficult to love. And some, it takes an act of God to love. But God loves us all. God doesn't just love the ones that are easy to love. God doesn't just love the ones that are tolerable. God loves us all. He says he's rich in mercy because of his great love for us. Even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with Christ. And it's by grace we're saved. We were spiritually dead, and God made us alive. I think about it in the emergency room situation. They have a person there who heart has stopped, and they put those paddles on there and they shock them back to life. We were spiritually dead, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, he brought us to life. And it's his grace. It's his grace. Grace and mercy. He showered that grace upon us. In verse 6, and it hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He says, you're seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. Not will be, but are. Now, we have a hard time imagining that, but we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And, verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace to us in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that a blessing, amazing, that for all of eternity, those who love Jesus as their Lord and Savior, God's going to be pouring out his blessing on us over and over and over and over and over again. That in the ages to come, because we are in Christ, God's going to be pouring out his blessing upon us. You see, Jean-Paul Sartre predicted and speculated of a place where there was no hope and no way out. And the Bible shows you, yes, there's a bad situation, but Jesus is the way out. You remember on another occasion, Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. And by me, you can go in and come out. He is the way maker. He makes a way when there is no way. He's the way maker. And I pray that every person that's listening to me, whether you're in this building, whether you're in the parking lot, whether you're on the web, I pray that you have come to the place where you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Where He is your way. He is your door. He is your life. People without Christ live in darkness and despair. But people who know Jesus, who really know Jesus, live with joy, with hope, with praise. And we're going to be praising His name for all of eternity. I can just imagine we won't ever get tired of walking up to Jesus and saying, thank you. I don't deserve to be here, but thank you. Thank you. Laying our crowns at His feet, joining in the millions as we sing praise to the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He made a way when there was no way. He's the way maker. I got, you know, not clinically depressed, but sad reading No Exit. But I get joy in reading the Bible because it shows me somebody that loves me, somebody that opens the door to a joyous eternity. And not just for me, but for all who will come to Him as Lord and Savior. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? I know that most of you sitting here are believers. And I pray that if there is one that's not a believer in Jesus Christ, that this very day you confess and receive. There's someone listening to me in the parking lot, or somebody that's listening later on the website. I pray that if you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you won't live in hopelessness, despair, thinking there's no way out, when Jesus is the way. And that you'll confess, I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe that He died for my sin. I believe that He rose again. And I invite Him into my heart and life to be my Lord and Savior. And if you'll make that confession in a heartfelt prayer, Jesus will come in and live with you, abide with you, and He will be your door. He will be your way maker. And for all of us, as we face difficult times, difficult situations, just keep trusting the Lord that either He will show us a way out of the bad situation or that He'll walk with us. As in the old or the little poem, Footprints. Most of us know there are times that it seems we walked alone, but those were the times that Jesus carried us. And Lord Jesus, I sure do thank You for doing that. I thank You that when we can't make it on our own, You carry us. You support us. pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you know somebody that's living in hopelessness and despair, I pray that today you share the good news of Jesus, the Waymaker, with them.